This morning, God woke me up. Not at 7:30, but a little bit before. And about 1:30, I'd been in bed 3.5 hours, I might add, at that point. And I really felt, at long last, in my Christian life, I've realised when that happens, maybe God wants to say something, all right? And forgive me, it's taken a long time. It's happened before, and but this morning I really felt I had to leave the warmth of a bed and get out into the cold, find something to wrap yourself up with. And I was drawn to re-look at the message. I'm glad I did, because I just feel that God wants to say something. It was a New Year's message. It is a message for the New Year. But it's more than a New Year.
Hallelujah.
It's great that Andy shared that passage, 2 Corinthians 5:17, about new creation. All right. And Jeremiah 31, God will put a new heart within us, not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh. And there's lots of places in the Old and the New Testament God talks about doing a new thing. Isaiah, behold, doing a new thing. And I think we've got to be ready and be able to also recognise when God wants to do that. So today's the first Sunday of the new year. All right. And during 2014, many of us have gone through all kinds of different things. Have you been through some disappointments? Been through some disappointments. Been through some dark times. Yeah? You've been through some desperate times. I know Christians aren't supposed to be desperate, apart from being desperate for God. But we do go through them. Have you been through some dry times? Some spiritual droughts this year? And we're ashamed to say they're of my own doing, because I haven't drawn as close to God when I should and where I should. And we've also gone through lots of times, different times of suffering as well. I suppose that includes everything, doesn't it? All those things, at some point in our life, in 2014, we might have hit them. And I'm sure there was a time, there may have been times even, when many of us thought we wouldn't get to through 2014. All right? But here we are. January the 4th. The first Sunday of 2015. And before us, there's a new year. Stretched out. When we were coming here on the motorway, on the M65, there were white fields. All right? Frost, snow, whatever they were. It was a blanket, a new blanket, as it were, a new canvas. And you know, that canvas is all ready to be painted on. All right? In terms of spiritual things. God has been faithful to us in 2014. But what are we going to see painted on the canvas of our lives for 2015? There's somebody else who's going to do some painting. God's going to do some painting. But we've got to do some as well. Did you know that 2015 is a year that none of us have ever seen before? Now you say that, Andy, okay, that's quite obvious. Right, but nobody's been here. So nobody can tell us, apart from God, what 2015 holds. It's also a year that we know nothing about. Nothing about whatsoever. But there's one thing that we can all be assured of today, and it's this. God holds it. God holds 2015. This new year is all in God's hands. Whatever happens, whatever will happen, it's all in God's hands. And all we have to do is what? Just trust God. Just trust God. Just place our hands and our lives into God's. And asking, please lead me. And, Andy, please be prepared to follow when I do. It's one thing for God to lead us. It's another thing to follow. And I've been impressed. I was this morning when I read it early on. Not so much, but this word, follow me. Because Jesus said so many times in the New Testament, follow me. Follow me. No, follow me. Following God. I believe something wonderful is going to happen to us in 2015. I really do. Now, I'm not prophesying this morning. I'm just believing. I'm just believing, God, that something good, something great, something gracious, meaning something we don't deserve, is going to happen to us. If we steer close to God. I'm believing God for miracles. What are you believing God for in 2015? I'm asking God for more faith for miracles. I know that my God is a miracle working God. I want to see miracles. I want to be part of God's miracles. I believe that God will change lives. I believe that bodies will be healed. Minds will be healed in 2015. I also believe that souls are going to be saved. I feel that. I believe God's going to do that. I'm also believing that God, for what I've called that which is impossible will be made possible. Because we'll all hit these things that seem impossible to go through, to handle. Now, why do I say that? Very simply, for with God, what? All things are possible for those who believe. All things are possible for those who believe. It's not just the bulge, just not in God's court. For those who believe, it's in my court and it's in your court as well. It's the response to the God that we claim to know so well. But I know this, that each of us have a part to play in 2015. And we've got to find out, what's my part in God's plan? And then what have I got to do? I've got to do it. It's got to move from here to the feet. All right, I've got to do it. It's no good just knowing it. I've got to do it. And I thought, so how do we do it? How do we do it? Our part. Our Bible reading today is it from the Old Testament. So if you've brought a half, you brought the wrong half. All right, because you can get to another half, the other half, and Joshua. Now, where do you find Joshua? There we are. Right, Joshua. Joshua chapter 3. That's one. There's 3. Maybe at the top of the beginning of chapter 3, you've got the title. Crossing the Jordan. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim, and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, who are Levites, carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Now, that's Joshua chapter 3, verses 1, I think, through 5. Now, I want you to repeat after me. God will work it out. God will work out 2015 for me. Now, should we repeat all the message? No. Okay. My message today is entitled Crossing Our Jordans and Accepting God's Challenge for 2050. Crossing Our Jordans. I'd like to begin by telling you a story. Max Bygraves here. I want to tell you a story. All right? And it's a true story about a Spanish explorer. His name was Hernando Cortes. Forgive me if I got the pronunciation wrong. He lived nearly 500 years ago. And in the year 1519, he led an expedition of 600 men to conquer southern Mexico. After arriving there, he did something quite drastic. Can you guess what he did? Burnt the boats. That's it. He had 11 ships. And one by one, he scuttled them and sunk them. Until only one boat was left. And when his men found out that he'd done that, they scolded him. And he replied to them in this way. He said, "What kind of man would need the ships except cowards?" And he went on to say, "If any man is so cowardly, you can board the last ship and leave for home now." Well, the men cheered and they drowned out the complaint. Sometimes that doesn't happen. It didn't when they went into the promised land. 2 against 10. All right. So they weren't drowned out, but they were here. And the cheers drowned out the complaints. And then, what did he suggest? Sink the last one. And that's what he did. He sunk the last ship. And by that single action, he committed himself and the 600 men to either do what? Succeed or die. There was no other option, you see. No boats to go back. They'd nothing to fall back on. Now that's just exactly what happened in the Old Testament when Elisha was approached by Elijah to take up the mantle of prophecy. He was going to pass it over to Elisha to lead God's people. When Elijah first called Elisha to do this, do you know what Elisha was doing? He was ploughing. He was ploughing with a yoke of oxen. And do you know what he did? Immediately, as he responded to God's call through Elijah, the Bible actually says Elisha slaughtered the oxen. He slaughtered the oxen there and then. And then he chopped up the plow and he made an altar and he made a sacrifice of the oxen to the Lord. when Elisha responded to God, he made sure there was nothing for him to go back to. Nothing at all. And I thought, what faith Elisha had. What commitment to God he had. But I also thought, what a challenge to us at the beginning of this new year. Have we got ploughs to chop up? Have we got oxen to kill? They weren't wrong. They just got in the way of what God wanted Elisha to do. Now, 2014 is behind us. There's nothing to go back to. In fact, we can't undo a single action or take back a single word that we've said or done. We can't. Before us lies a whole new year, the year 2015. And I've got a question for you about it. Is this year going to be any different than 2014 for you? Is it going to be any different for you spiritually? Are you going to cross your Jordans? Are we going to do it together? How do we go about doing it? I need some fire and brimstone. Everybody's getting cold. Okay? So crank up, okay? In our text that I read this morning in Joshua chapter 3, the great leader Moses had died. Right? And the days of his mourning had passed. And we see that Joshua is now in charge. He's been appointed by God. And I thought, wow, as a leader of anything, what a responsibility to lead God's people. And what do we read? And Joshua and the people of God had come to the Jordan. Now, it wasn't a little brook. It wasn't a little stream. It was a river. A mighty river. And what did they have to do? They had to make a choice. Are we going to cross the river? Or are we going to stay on this bank? Are we going to cross over into the promised land that's been promised? Or should we just carry on? As before. Should we just remain on this side of the River Jordan? Let's just settle down. Some actually did. Two tribes. 10 went. 2 stayed. Interesting. Opposite than before. The choice was theirs. And you know, you and I, today, have a choice. A free will choice. For 2015. We can stay where we are, or we can move on. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? Now, verse 1 tells us that the River Jordan was a place that God had ordained. We sometimes seem to think that a place that God has ordained looks like a wonderful place that's going to bless us. It looks like blessing to us, right? But what was this river? It was a place of human impossibility. It's a big river to cross. It was a place also of self-realization. Of what? I'm weak. I'm helpless. I can't cross. They didn't have boats. They didn't have plastic collapsible boats. Even a lilo. They had nothing. Alright? It was also a place where human reliance has got to die. And where men and women come face to face with your own limitations. Do you ever do that? You might say, that's where I'm at. I realize my limitations. In myself, because of this, in this case of the people of God, this huge river that I'm going to cross. But the Bible says that the people of Israel moved from Shittim and came to Jordan and lodged there before they passed over. And the first thing I want you to notice about the people of Israel is this. They were, and they knew, that they were a people who were called to be on the move. They were called to be on the move. I think it's in the book of Hebrews, it actually says, I'm not a citizen down here. I'm a citizen of heaven. We're introduced to Abraham very early on in the book of Genesis. He was a man on the move. And so were his people. Staying still for Israel wasn't in their remit or God's plan for them. Same for us. Standing still in our spiritual lives is not an option, folks. In order to obtain and receive and possess the best that God has for us, we've got to be prepared to move on and move out, or move out and move on with God's help and direction from where we are to where God wants us to be. From where we are to where God wants us to be. Now, where are you today with God? What side of the Jordan are you on? Are you willing? Are you prepared to be moved on by God and with God? Or do you want to stand still spiritually? It's nice and comfortable here, apart from the heating. And many Christians get too comfy. There's this phrase that's been going around for decades, moving out of your comfort zone. Christians have to take that fully on board. If we want to stand still, if we're not prepared to move on, yes, we're going to stagnate. So, on this first Sunday of 2015, what might be the Jordans, our Jordans, that we're faced with? We've got to handle them and we've got to overcome them. What are they? Well, I said that Jordan is a place where we are weak and helpless. It's a place where self-reliance, it says, has to die. Do you know what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20? He said this, I have been crucified with Christ. And what does that mean? He's died with Christ. It's now no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live now in the flesh is by faith in the Lord Jesus who loved me and gave his life for me. That is a verse of the need to die to self. Our Jordan is a place to die to self. Self-reliance. You know, I also think Jordans might be a place where a person might be tempted to give up. Give up doing something that God's called you to do. What do we say? It's too difficult for me to go on like this, doing this. You might, and I might face our Jordans in lots and lots of different times. One might be a time of sickness. It could be a Jordan. One place might be a time when your family around you start to experience problems. Sometimes we can cope with it if it's ourselves. better than our loved ones suffering all around us. That might be a Jordan. It could be a time of financial crisis. It could be all those things at different times. And when these times come, sometimes we're not sure what to do. And we may be tempted to give up. Somebody once said this about Jordan. He says, Jordan is a dividing line. It's not just a physical barrier. It's a dividing line. Have you ever heard the phrase, when the going gets rough, the tough get going? When the going gets rough, the going gets tough, the tough get going. And I wonder whether that's you today. Crank it up. Get going. Jordan is a place where we are forced to decide. Are we going to trust in the living God? Are we going to trust in the arm of man's flesh, our strength and our self-efforts? But also, as a child of God, have you ever found yourself at a place where you just don't know what to do? It's not just lacking in strength. I just don't know what to do. It seems as though you're going through your Jordan experience, but nothing seems to help. What do? We call on your friends. We tell your friends about it. But there comes a time, sometimes they can't seem to help you. So what do? You call on God. But you wonder, is God hearing me on this? Are you there? It seems everyone, everything has turned against you maybe, and there you are, wondering what's going to happen next. Old Testament man. Jacob. He went through his own Jordan experience, and yet he was nowhere near it because he was in a desert. Through his Jordan experience, he came to realize the type of person he was. And I believe in order to obtain our blessing from God, we have to realize who we really are, what we're really like. We've got to know our limitations. We've got to know our weaknesses. We've got to know the unique temptations and the things that bring us down. It's said in the Old Testament about Jacob that he wrestled all night with the angel of the Lord. And during that wrestling match, Jacob came face to face with the real Jacob. And he was forced to face up and accept himself and see who he really was and what he was like. What was Jacob really like at this time? What had he been like? Well, Jacob was a deceiver. He stole Esau's birthright. There's an old word, a supplanter. That's what the name Jacob means. He was a manipulator. Couldn't get my teeth in there. He was a manipulator and a usurper. He was a sinner. But, and this is why I like this man, Jacob, he didn't allow all that and what he knew about all that to cripple him and cause him to miss out on God's blessing to use him. What did he do? Jacob cried out to be delivered from the self life. Not the shelf life. Okay? The self life. I won't let you go unless, until what? You bless me. I won't let you go. I won't let you go until you bless me. And I thought, in other words, he's saying this, Lord, I don't like what I see. I don't like what I see in me. spiritually. But Lord, don't leave me like this. I can't live like this anymore. I'm sick of my carnal self. And what did the angel do? He struck him in his thigh, the muscle of his self-life dried up and walked with a limp after that. Then God could use Jacob. And to prove it to Jacob, he gave him a new name. What was his name? Israel led Israel. Lovely, isn't it? Israel. Folks, I think it's time. Are you there in that place today? When you look at yourself spiritually, what do you see? Where do you want to be? Do you see weakness? Do you see selfishness? Do you see self-pleasing? Do you see prayerlessness? Do you see powerlessness? Do you see rebellion? Do you see half-heartedness? Do you see laziness? Do those, any of those words tick any boxes for you? What does it, what will it take to get across your Jordan or your Jordans? Because it doesn't have to be like that. And I'm not speaking as a man who's arrived. Let's look at verses 2 and 3. It says here, the people were lodging at Jordan. See, there were travel lodges then. Okay? But it was now time for them to move from where they were to where God wanted them to be. It's now time for the crossing. Now in Ecclesiastes, a lovely little book in the Old Testament, it does say there's a time and a place for everything under the sun. Folks, for Israel, Jordan was their time. Time to do something. And I believe now is our time. God wants us to be ready. God wants us to move us from where we are now to where he wants us to be. Now, it's been said that anything that would offend the Spirit of God in our lives can keep us from crossing our Jordans and crossing the Jordan. And I began to think, what sort of things can do that? What sort of things in our lives could prevent us from doing that? Often in the Old and in the New Testament, it tells us to examine yourself. Examine yourself. To see if there's anything hindering you from moving on with God and where God would have us be. Watch night services at the end of a year, I believe, were originally designed to do that for believers. To wait on God to do just that. I think it also included seeking God's guidance for the new year. But I think it was a time where believers examined themselves to make sure they didn't do what? Carry over negative attitudes, negative feelings, negative thoughts and ideas from the old year into the new. There's a checking time, an examining time. Have you done that? Have you done that? We need to do that. The second thing is this. We need to move when God says and not when we want to. I noticed in our text that the people were told by God, then it mentioned this word officers, and the officers went round the camp telling people, but when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the priests, those were Levites carrying it, then you've got to leave your place and you've got to follow after it. Now, what's the significance? The Ark of the Covenant represented the Lord amongst his people, just as the tabernacle did. the Lord with his people. Now, when I read in here in verses 2 and 3, nobody questioned the leaders. Hey, why are we doing that? I've just set the tent up. Nobody questioned the leaders. They simply obeyed the command given to them and they followed. They realized that it was time to move out and move on, and they did it. Now, at the time, they weren't sure how the crossing of the River Jordan was going to take place, or how God was going to make it happen. Don't we want to do that? I want to know how you're going to do it, Lord. God says, why? Trust me. I'm going to do it. You're not going to do it. I'm going to do it. But they did their bit, these Israelites. They obeyed the command and they moved out. I mentioned Abraham. Do you know what it says about Abraham in Hebrews 11? It says, Abraham, by faith, obeyed and went. That's what it says about him. Abraham, by faith, obeyed and went. And this is what the people of Israel did, even though he didn't know where he was going. Now, in Joshua chapter 3, verse 13, we didn't read it, but this is what it says. As soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that carried the Ark of the Covenant set foot in the Jordan, what happened? It says the waters flowing downstream would be cut off and they'd stand up in a heat. We'd have another Red Sea experience. Now, in the midst of this particular verse, verse 13, there's a time word in there. Did he catch what it was? As soon as they're there waiting, these priests, when they come in. Oh, there they go. And I'm going. As soon as, immediately. One of the biggest problems that many Christians have in God's church is they fail to obey the commands of God in God's time. Going to put it off a bit. Going to check it out again. We don't always obey in God's time. Instead, what do we like to do? Question things. I want to reason it out. They like to second guess God. They ignore God and miss his direction. They make excuses. They postpone things. I'll just put it off. They don't believe God, and so they do something else. They say, God's ways don't work, so let's do it our way. That's what believers do sometimes. Another problem, a third problem we have in the church, is we want to see, we want to experience the victory without being willing to enter into the fight and without being willing to get your feet wet. We do. I want all the blessings, but I'm not going to work for it. You see, the waters of the Jordan, they didn't divide until the priests, yeah, I can just, if I'd have been one of those priests and one at the front, I'd go, all right, I'm a bit like that. All right. As soon as their feet were dipped into the water. You see, nothing happened until they stepped in and got their feet wet. Nothing will happen until we commit ourselves to doing God's will and do it. Oh, I'm going to cross the Jordan. Let's have a good talk about this for 3 months. No, we've got to do it. We've got to do it. Fourthly, many times we want to see the end before we even start. Okay? We bought a little table from IKEA. Can I tell them this story, Lynn? If you want. As long as... All right. Nothing about Lynn at all. Lynn, watch the TV while I struggle hard. No. Okay. And what do we do? Whether it's flat packs, because it wasn't, you know, one of these where you can carry it in and plonk it down and it's there. It's one of these, who invented it? No, I'm not going to go there. I was going to say, who invented a flat pack? Was it a fella? Was it somebody? I don't know. And I put together this little table. I was so glad instructions were in there. All right? And so was Lynn. Okay? Because I could see the finished thing. But sometimes we can't see that and do that with God. Sometimes he gives us a glimpse, sometimes he doesn't. In other words, you see, it's on a need-to-know basis. And sometimes we don't need to know. God knows. I'll let you know in my time, God says. You just follow. You just go. Sometimes he just gives us just a glimpse, enough to get started. And that's wonderful. Just to get started. And I believe we need to learn to accept this. We need to simply obey and seek God's face. Now, I haven't time to unpack again. I think it might be the third time possibly. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people... I memorized it as, if my people who are called by my name will pray and seek my face and turn from my wicked ways. No. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Don't need to know, Andy. You need to trust in me, Andy. Then pray. And then seek God's face. And turn from their wicked ways. Then. What a promise. I'll hear from heaven. And will forgive their sin. And will heal their land. I'd love to unpack that today. But we've not time. Again. How it fits in. To this new life of 2015. I've got kind of 2 things I want us to think about. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, the best way for you to start the new year is to accept Jesus as your personal saviour. Whatever has drawn you to church on a Sunday, as a non-believer at this point, I do not know. All right? I take my hat off to every non-believer who goes to church. Because I wonder, why are you there? Here, if that's the case, maybe. But if that's you, I want you this morning, just put your life into the hands of God. Because he knows what the future holds for you. That's your first step to respond to all that God has. I'm not going to ask anybody to put their hand up or anything like that. If you want to know more, how to know Jesus personally, I've got some little booklets. Always bring them. Journey into life into 2015. No, I just said that. Okay? How to know Jesus and enter into the life that he offers. But I assume that many of us are Christians. And if through this message you've made up your mind today to be the very best for God that you can be in 2015, I want you to join with me in a prayer of dedication. And I've asked, actually, now Dan the man, I said I would say Dan the man, if you could bring up, I hope you can read it, because I'd like us to actually say this together. Okay. Let's say it together. I resolve to commit my life wholeheartedly to follow and serve the Lord in 2015. I resolve to take time to read and study God's word and put it into practice in my life. I resolve to be a doer of God's word and not just a hearer of it. I resolve to set aside choice time to seek God's face in prayer. I resolve to resist the devil, knowing that if I resist him, he will flee from me. I resolve to draw near to God, knowing that he will draw near to me when I do. I resolve to be more faithful in attendance at church, because the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I resolve to follow and do the things which make for peace and things which will strengthen and build others up. I resolve not to be a lazy Christian, but also desire to be involved in doing the work of the Lord. I resolve not to say I could not help myself in doing wrong when God is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I resolve that even though I have not passed this way before, I can look to a bright future, that wherever God leads me, I will follow. I will always be willing to follow the Lord all the way, always. Amen. Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, seal that prayer in our hearts. Let it be real. Let it be true for each one of us. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to make a difference in 2015, here in Blackburn, wherever we live in this church. We want you to shine through us. We want your will to be done. We want your kingdom to come. We want your will to be done. Here we are, Lord. We submit ourselves to you. Surrendered to you. Have your way in each of our lives. Be glorified, be honored, be adored, be magnified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.